Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
If you have your Bibles, I want to share with you the title of my message this morning is Dare to Walk with God. Dare to walk with God 100%. Amen. Not 50. How many are in the 50s? Amen. But that is my title this morning, Dare to Walk with God 100% in 2026. And if you have your Bible, I want to read a scripture with you. Praise God. Genesis chapter 6. Welcome everyone that's here this morning. Thank you for being with us. We're glad to serve you. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And amen when you have it. It says, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And the word of God reads, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now notice that the Bible says that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then it says, And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But look at the last verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When you look at the Bible, from the beginning, you see, like in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that the Lord God formed man. And the Bible says that he breathes into his nostrils, and the breath of life came to the man, and he became a living being. And you read everywhere in the Bible how God commanded man. You see from the Bible, from the beginning, how God began to give man instructions. How many know that God gives instructions? And we are called to do the instructions. The Bible, the Word of God, is a book of instructions. And the Bible teaches that the Lord commanded the man, saying, he gave them instructions, over every tree of the garden you may freely eat. He says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And you know what the Bible teaches, how God gave instructions and how the serpent came and deceived and they failed and sin entered. And you begin to read the Bible how in the midst of all that, the Bible also teaches about a man named Enoch. And the Bible says about Enoch that Enoch walked with God. Did you know that Enoch walked with God? But it gets my attention that it says with God 300 years. And he had sons and daughters. How many know that you can walk with God even though you got a family? Amen. You can walk with God. Amen. You can walk with God. And that's what Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God so much that the Bible says that he was not, for God took him. I mean, think about that. I mean, he got a free ride. Enoch, God just took him. But then you look at the Bible, as we just read, that there was wickedness on earth. Amen? And the Bible says that they were so wicked that the intents of the thoughts of their hearts was evil. The Bible says continually. But the Bible also says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many know that it's possible that starting this year we can walk with God in the midst of all the craziness? Amen? If Noah did it, and the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many here want favor and the grace of God in your life this year? Amen. I want the favor of God in my life. And, you know, the Bible talks about this in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says, this is the wise words of Proverbs. He says, do not forget the law. He said, keep the law, he says, in your heart. He says, then, there it goes again, instructions, length of days and long life and peace will be added to you. See, when God gives instructions, we just what? We obey. We obey. And the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Proverbs says, don't forget about the law. Keep his commands. And you're going to have length of days and long life. And peace will be added unto you. And he goes on to say, write the law, he says, in the tablet of your heart. And then it says in verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I say all this, that it is possible, church, to walk with God and have the favor of God in your life. And the Bible says that in the genealogy of Noah, it says about him that Noah, he was a just man. And it says, perfect in his generations. And then it says, Noah walked with God. So we see that Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God, and in no way were they perfect. You read later on that Noah had a vineyard, and the Bible says, you've probably heard it, that he became drunk. Amen? But how many know that there is redemption and there's forgiveness? Amen? And now, it's no excuse, man. I'm just throwing that out there. But notice, it says that he walked with God. And he says that he was complete. He was blameless. When it talks about perfect, he had consistent faith. He was committed. Noah walked with God. And the Bible says that he did all of that when the earth was filled with violence. Now, there's a scripture that gets my attention about David. David was a man after God's own heart. David loved God. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that David, after he had served his own generation. How many know that it's possible to serve God in your own generation? Amen. You can serve God in your own generation. And it says, by the will of God. And then it says that he fell asleep. I think there's nothing greater, church, hear me, that we serve God in our generation. Serve God in our generation. To do the assignment that God has given you and God has given me. To fulfill the perfect will of God for your life and my life. And the Bible says that when David served his own generation, it says by the will of God, then the Bible says that he fell asleep. In other words, he went to be with the Lord. Now, I read all of this about walking with God, about how Adam and Eve, they were in the Garden of Eden. Eden, which means pleasure. They had pleasure and fellowship with God. And that's what I want to challenge you, church, this new year, is that you get closer to God. Not only closer to God, but to walk with God. And I just gave you a few examples of Adam, Enoch, Noah. And one of the ways that you and I can get closer, number one, this year, 2026, and it's very important, and I want to point out on it again, is that we need more of Jesus. Amen? How many know that you can never say, you know, Jesus, that's too much Jesus? No, how many know that we need Jesus every day? Every day. How do we get more of Jesus? How do we get to know God, His Word? Real simple. Number one, you got to read your Bible. I said we got to read the Bible, the Word of God. But how many know reading the Bible is not just Sunday mornings? Reading the Bible is an everyday thing. How many here want to have a changed life? How many here want to change? I want to change. I need a lot of work. I'm sure you need a lot of work. Amen? But they say that a changed life requires a change, what? Mind. Amen? So if we want to change, we got to what? Change our mind. And you know, now I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Look what it says. Are you guys with me this morning? Once again, a changed life requires a changed mind. And it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the New Living Translation, it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. How many know that we're not copycats? How many know that we're the head and not the tail? And he says, but let God, see, you got to let God transform you into a new person. How many know it's possible? If we let God transform you into a new person by changing what? Changing the way you think. But then he says, then you will learn. You will learn. How many know that we're learning this morning? You will learn to know God's will. I don't know about you, but I want God's will in my life. He says, you will know God's will for your life, which is what? Good and pleasing and perfect. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, it says, but they that delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. How many know it's important to think about the word? It says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank. And look at the results. This is what you get. Bearing fruit, look what he says, each season. I don't know about you, church, but I want to bear fruit in every season. Amen? How does that happen? You got to delight yourself in the Lord. We have to meditate in his word. And he says that we will become like a tree planted along the riverbank. And he says, you're going to bear fruit in each season. And then he says this, their leaves never wither. How many believe that? He says that your leaves will never wither. I mean, in other words, you're going to still be giving fruit. Amen? You're going to be giving fruit. And he says, and he will show you, he's going to show you which path to take. That's the way God works. There's a saying, I think a president from a Bible school said this. When he's talking about regarding reading the word, he says, no Bible. In other words, if you don't read the Bible yet in the morning, he says, no breakfast. So now that we're talking about 21 days of prayer and fasting, amen? Bible first, the word of God first. And I want to encourage you, church, to fall in love with the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to teach us how to live for the Lord. And we need the Word of God. Why? Because every day the enemy attacks, bombards our minds. He attacks, he bombards your mind with all kinds of lies. Lies that go against what? The truth. So, read your Bible. Number two. Walking with God is what? Praying daily. Let me tell you this. We need to pray daily. Did you know that if we walk, or our walk with God will always produce more in your life than your work for God? I don't know if you caught it. Our walk with God will always produce more in our life than our work for God. Because sometimes we could get so busy in the work of God that we don't spend time in our walk fellowship with God. And we think that we're okay because we're so busy in the things of God that we don't make time for our fellowship and walk with God. And that's why prayer or talking to God, it's vital. Reading our Bible and praying every day is going to keep us, you and I, or keep our spiritual life strong and healthy. How many want to be healthy? Besides physical healthiness, spiritually, physically. Amen? We want to be healthy. We want to be blessed. And I like what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says. He says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. We got to trust the Lord. Church, this year, 2020, says you got to trust the Lord with all your heart. And then he says, do not depend on your own understanding. That, you know what that means? That means that if God is not in the picture, if God is not involved in your life, guess what? We are depending on our own understanding. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. And then he says, seek his will in all you do. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And he says, and he will show you which path to take. So I want to challenge you, church, this year. Acknowledge God in everything you do. Invite God. Talk to God. And he will always direct your path and my path. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Don't stop praying, church. Keep on praying. Keep on talking to God. Get in his face. Talk to him. Enjoy your fellowship with God. You know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus, the Bible says, in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to where? To the wilderness for prayer. In other words, he would get away from the busyness of life, and he would go to a place where it was just him and his Father. And Jesus even taught that you and I, we ought to have our own secret place. How many have a secret place? And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, he says, but when you pray, go away by yourself or go into your room. And he says, shut the door behind you. Church, it's necessary that we got to shut the door sometimes of all the noise. You got to shut the door behind you where you just want to hear God speak to you, where you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to your life. And that's what the Bible says. He says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, go into your room, and he says, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. And he says, then your Father, who sees everything. How many know that God sees everything? God sees every moment, every time that you talk to him. And he says, he will reward you. God's a rewarder, church. Don't forget that. Everything you do and I do for God is not in vain. God will always reward you. The sacrifices, God's going to reward you. And it's important that we set a time this year, 2026, develop a habit. How many believe that prayer is a good habit? Prayer is a good habit. Amen. Develop that habit. Set aside a time. Develop that habit of prayer. Number three, that's what we're doing right now in the morning. That faithfully. And this is something I've been drilling on because it's just people have so many thoughts or ways of thinking, but to faithfully that we honor God's house. Did you know that the house of God, the church, is the most important institution on earth? The house of God? Did you know that? It's not the White House. It's not the high school. It's not the county. It's not the city. It's the church. The house of God. The house of God. You know what we're doing this morning? We're honoring God. And that's what I'm trying to, this year, 2026, that we make that a habit to honor the house of God. You know what Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says? They'll put it up right now. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Look what it says. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. Look what he says. The most important place on earth. It will be raised above other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to what? To worship. So don't ever forget that, church. How important it is, the house of God. Even the psalmist said this, passion for your house, he says, has consumed me. That's what he says in Psalm 69, verse 9. Passion for your house has consumed me. Look at Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. He says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. You know what that word neglect means in the original language? It means to abandon or desert. So what he's saying is, let us not neglect or abandon of meeting together. And then he says, as some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How do you know that Jesus Christ is coming back soon? And he says, and do not neglect or forsake our meeting together. And you know that a lot of people have abandoned that? You know that if you watch social media, that's the one thing you're going to see. Number one, social media. People attacking the church, the house of God. And even believers will tell you, well, you don't need to go to church. We are the church. And what you see on social media is all they do is attack and disrespect the house of God, the church. All they look at and all they focus is on the faults of the church, the minister, or whatever, the worship. That's all they do. They attack what? Pastors, they attack evangelists, they attack ministers. But how many know that where our eyes are set on the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And it is important, like this morning, to be in his house. Because according to Paul in the New Testament, the Bible says that God, Christ, he gave the church some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's where? The body of Christ, the church. And that is important. I want to encourage you. Don't neglect, don't forsake the assembly, the house of God, the church. Someone wrote, the honor that God shows to your house, listen well, the honor that God shows to your house and family is proportionate to the honor that you show God's house and family. So in other words, as you bless his house, God will always bless and take care of your house. If you desire, you want to see his favor, his honor, his blessing in your life this year, 2026, you got to honor the bride of Christ. We, the church, the local church, the holy church. Like this morning, we're here honoring God. And it is important, church, that we be faithful. Be faithful and faithful. The only time you don't come to the house of the Lord, for the most part, if you're sick, bedridden, praise God for social media. But if God has blessed you with the vehicle, you could walk, you could move, you have all the time, you have the free time, there's no excuse. There's no excuse about being in the house of the Lord. Because God has been so good, church. And God, this is the place. This is the place where you're going to hear the word of God. This is where we're going to worship and we're going to praise God. And this is the place where God is going to minister to you. Where God's going to challenge you. The Holy Spirit, he's going to provoke you. Convict you to live better for him. And number four is that we become generous stewards for God. How many know that God created you, created us in his image? Amen. He created us. And all you see in the Bible, listen up, all you see in the Bible, that God is very generous. God is very generous. Did you know God is a giver? And even the Bible says in John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his only and only son. God gave his very best. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And God always took care of his children. God always blessed his people. Everything they needed, God would supply. But then, as we began in the message in the beginning, God would always give them instructions about giving back. Because at the end of the day, church, hear me. At the end of the day, everything belongs to the Lord. It's not, see, a lot of people think, well, it's not only the 10%. Everything is of the Lord. Everything. And when we get that in our hearts, we will understand that everything belongs to the Lord. We're just stewards, or we're called to steward everything of his, not only money, even your own life, even your health, everything in life, we're just stewards. We're called to what? Take care of everything that God has put in our hands. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says, give and you will receive. How many believe that? He says, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make, look what he says, to make more room, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give, Look what he says. The amount that you give will determine the amount you get back. See, a lot of people get upset when they don't get nothing. But the real question is, have you given? We give, God gives back. And remember this, God is a very generous God. And you've heard me say that lots of times, we will never outgive God. In other words, we never lose with God. How many know that God gives back with good interest? Back. Amen. Look what Paul says in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. He says, remember this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get what? A small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a what? A generous crop. So let me ask you, do you want to just give a few seeds? You're going to get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God, there's that word, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And God will generously provide all, look what he says, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Look at how good God is. He'll give you back. He'll bless you, but he'll bless you so much so that you can share the blessing with others. That's the God we serve. Amen. And you know what I found out about God? That God will always give you back from unexpected places that you can't even explain. You don't even know how is it that God blessed you, or how did God come through, or how did this even get to me? Because that's the way God works. See, our job, I like what Jesse Duplantis says. He says, our job is to believe God to do his work. That's all you got to do is just believe God, and God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. Psalms 112, verse 9. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. So this new year, 2026, church, you got to make up your mind, all of us, that we're going to become less selfish and more generous. Amen. Less selfish and more generous. In what? In everything. Our time, our talent, our calling, our treasures. In everything we do, we want to honor God and be a blessing to others. And finally, is make sure that you have Jesus Christ in your heart. That he's your Lord and Savior. Because how many know that people come to church, but they've never been saved? How many know that people could get religious, but they've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ? You know, there's people that could go to church every Sunday, but they have never repented or asked God for forgiveness of their sins. And receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know that that's real common? Or they think, you know, I'm saved because, you know, I help the needy. Which all that is good. Because we are called to do good works. But religion, when we do works, that will never break the curse of sin. When we ask God for forgiveness and we repent of our sins and Christ comes into our hearts, our lives, then Christ can break that curse of sin. And we want the blessing of the Lord in our lives. So don't let the enemy, don't let sin steal from you. This morning, if you're here, I invite you. That you ask forgiveness for your sins. Think about me. Just look at your life. You know that the Bible says that the enemy or the thief, his purpose is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the enemy does. The thief, or Satan, so you could better understand me, he came to what? He came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. That's what the enemy is. He's just taking away from your life. Joy, peace, relationships. That's all he does. That's what the enemy, the thief, came for. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. And I want you to know that, church, this morning. In Christ, we have a rich and satisfying life. How many are satisfied in the Lord? How many are blessed in the Lord? Not only that our sins are forgiven, we have salvation, we have eternal life, and here on earth, we can live a life of victory, a blessed life. So this morning, number one, you got to admit, if you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got to admit, number one, that you're a sinner. You got to recognize, you know what? I'm a sinner. I've failed. I've messed up. And yes, God can forgive you. There's nothing that the power of the blood of Jesus cannot forgive. Because the Bible says, for everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. And we have fallen short of God's glorious standard. So that's number one. Number two, you got to believe now. You got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross more than 2,000 years ago. And he died for you and for me. How do you like that one? That he died for you and for me. Amen. You got to believe. You know, that's what happened with the jailer, with Paul and Silas when they were in prison. When God took them out, the jailer, he was afraid, he was scared. He was about to take away his life. And right away they told him, or he said first, what do I need to do to get saved? Because the law was that they would kill them. But he said, the jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved, to have salvation? And maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, what do I need to do to have salvation, eternal life? And this is what they told him. Believe in the Lord and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. That means the family. Because how many know that God wants not just you, he wants your whole family to be saved. He wants the whole family to be saved. He wants your tío, your tía, your grandma, tu tat, everyone. Amen? And it's important, church. So you're here this morning just in case. The church won't save you. The preacher won't save you. The pastor's not going to save you. The priest ain't going to save you. Religion is not going to save you. The only one that gives salvation, his name is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to please stand.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ncngchurch.com.